Okay, good evening. Parshas Baalosa, the Torah records that the Bnei Yisrael began to complain, basically that they were dissatisfied with the menu. They didn't like what was on the menu, they didn't care for the meal plan that was available in the Midbar. The Pasuk says, in Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, V'asafsu v'asher b'kirbo y'sabu tavo, v'ayashuvu v'ayivku gam Bnei Yisrael v'ayomor miyach leinu basar. Right, the rabble that was among them, they craved, had a craving, and Bnei Yisrael also wept and cried, and they said, who'll give us meat? And then Pasuk, hey, Zacharnu es hadogah asher nochab Mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim for free. And
Esau,
right, I don't know, they must have served them maybe sushi or whatever the was on the Egyptian menu they liked better than it was on the Midbar menu. And we remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim for free. It's like Kishurim, it's Avatich, it's Achotzev, it's Absalom, it's Ashumim, right, all these other delicacies, cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. And now all we have is this here lousy mon, it says the next pasuk. So they complained that they remembered all the fish and all things they ate, and it says they got this for free. Chinam, Zacharnu es hadogah asher nochab Mitzrayim chinam. So Rashi right away in the second source, they have the pages. Rashi right away says, wait a minute, asher nochab Mitzrayim chinam. In tomar shemitzvim losim lohem dogim chinam. You, are we really meant to believe that the Egyptians gave them delicious fish for free? What do you mean for free? They were slaves. Paro, when he heightened the decree, when he strengthened the decree against the Jews, wouldn't even give them straw with which to make their bricks. They didn't even have enough material, raw material, to work on the brick building missions that they were assigned. Right? They didn't even give them that. If they didn't give them straw for free, they gave them fish for nothing. What does it mean? The whole thing doesn't make sense, as Rashi. Mahu amar omer chinam, chinam in hamitzvahs. What were they saying? It wasn't told they got the food for free. They were slaves. But it means when they got food, they were free of mitzvahs. They got whatever they needed in terms of eating without having all these mitzvahs attached. And attached, this isn't maybe referring to mitzvahs in general. But it's also certainly possible they meant, you know, all the restrictions that all the mitzvahs that pertain to food. Right? When in Mitzrayim, when it was time to eat, they didn't have to worry about kosher species and non-kosher species and shechita and treifas and milchigs and fleishigs and yosha and cholav yisrael, you know, and insects and vegetables and copepods in the water. They didn't have to worry about it. Time to eat, you ate. And that was it. Now, all of a sudden, they have all these things to say. Nothing about their requirements to make brachas before eating and after eating. They don't have all these requirements. Chinam min ha-mitzvahs. That's what they were complaining about. And the truth is that we know that there are quite a number of regulations and rules relating to eating, the consumption of food. Halachas of kashrus are, it's a major area in Jewish law. It's encompassing and a lot of details. And that's what they were complaining about. We know that's a basic part of our religious system is the laws of kashrus. Again, to say nothing of brachas. So we're using that as a springboard this evening. I'd like to discuss a topic which is very current. It's in the news in terms of the world of kashrus right now. It's come to the public light, at least, really just in the last few months. And it's really shaken up the kashrus world. It's an issue which is being investigated really now, looked into now, right now, by the contemporary poskim and Morei Torah and the various kashrus certification organizations, both here in America and in Europe and Eretz Yisrael, are trying to figure out how to respond. And the issue relates to the consumption of fish. That's the first thing I complain about in the pasuk, right? Zacharnu es hadogah. So I'll talk about this issue relating to fish. The issue is the following, to put it very simply. There are some who contend that there are quite a number of different species of fish, including certain very popular and commonly eaten fish, and I'll read you a list in a second of which fish are affected. These fish are, or can be, infested with a certain worm called the Anisakis worm. A certain type, it's a tiny worm, a tiny organism, a tiny worm that is apparently found in these specific types of fish. And the contention is that these worms may not be consumed, they're not kosher. And therefore, any fish which has these tiny, minuscule worms inside can also not be eaten unless you've inspected them first and made sure that there are, in fact, no worms in the particular fish that you're eating, or they've been removed, they've been inspected, and obviously that would entail inspecting fish, the way we've come to accept inspecting vegetables and fruits before consuming them, which would obviously be a tedious kind of task, at least for the mashgichim. And the question is, what is the din here? Just in terms of the type of fish that are involved, I have here a list from the Rabbinical Council of California, which is under the halachic leadership of Rabbi Gershon Bess. Rabbi Gershon Bess is a prominent Talmud Chacham and Rav in Los Angeles. And this was, the sheet I have here is as of February 20th, 2010. Like I said, just in the last couple of months. It says, the following, the preliminary finding of the various fish, as for the Anisakis worm is found in the following fish, frozen or fresh, and may not be eaten unless checked for worms, even if it has a hexer on it. Butterfish, canned salmon, if wild salmon, cod, flounder, yellowtail flounder, different types of flounder, halibut, Pacific red snapper, pollock, red perch, sable, sardines from Norway and Scotland, sole, all types of wild salmon and yellowfin sole. At least some of those fish, I think, are commonly eaten fish. Happens to be that this issue is not going to get me personally because I'm allergic to all fish. But to other people who are not allergic to fish, these are sort of common fish. Now, they have another list of fish that don't require checking, which includes carp and herring and lox and various other common fish. But certainly, again, if we include certain types of canned salmon, flounder, halibut, sable, It depends. Wild salmon is different. It depends where they're farmed from and so on. So, anyway, but as you see, it's quite a number of different types of fish. Obviously, if this is indeed the halacha, as some prana rabbanim today contend, then all these types of fish either can't be eaten at all or have to be inspected, for these Anisakis worms. Now, to just go into the issue a little bit before we see all the relevant sources, just to present, what people discuss. As I said before, this is a new issue. The issue of tiny parasites in fish and animals and fruits and vegetables, that itself is not a new issue at all. The Gemara, the Chachmei Talmud were well aware of this.
Like the water issue.
Yeah, well, right. The issue of fish and the animals having in the skin and in the meat certain types of tiny, tiny parasites, that these like this worm, and again, they're very small, but this is not itself a new issue. Like I said, the Gemara is familiar with it. The Gemara, as we'll see in the Halacha, declares that in certain circumstances these creatures do not pose a halachic concern. Okay, it's mutter to eat them or to eat the product which they're in. Certain times it does. And what the issue here is, as we'll see, the Gemara mentions that certain type of worms that are found in between the skin and the skin and the meat of the fish, these worms, the Gemara seems to say, are kosher, and we pass out that shulchan. We'll see the sources shortly. What they seem to have discovered more recently is that the particular types of worms that everyone thought was always good because that's where they're found, in between the skin and the flesh, are also found now in the stomach, which indicates that they may have come from the outside as already existing entities which the fish simply swallowed, and they were usur, so they remain usur. So that's what we're going to have to talk about. They say, no, that's not the same. The Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter, and who says that those are the same ones? And even if it is the same ones, maybe they came from inside. I'm just presenting, we'll talk about that momentarily. Yes, we'll get to all that. That's part of the issue. Spontaneous generation. How do we understand that in light of today's science? And again, I'm not here to Paskin this Shaila at all. They say the contemporary Poskim are looking into it, and the Mora Hara of the Kashrus ages are looking into it. It relates to that issue, as we'll see. I just want to go over what the main sources are and what they're considering, and as we go through, I'll throw in what some of the people are saying today. Yeah.
This is a meta question.
Yeah.
You knock it out of the box immediately just by saying that Rovam would not be observing this, and therefore...
Well, what some people write is, and again, there are articles now appearing, and you can get online, and there are articles from different poskim that are being popularized right now, and some say it's not conceivable that, for hundreds of years this has not been a problem, now it suddenly is a problem, and that is part of it.
But I'm saying, like what we did with, Shemin Atom, that people just swore it.
Yeah, but it's a little... Well, the thing is, others... Here's the Raisa, and others say that, now we know more, and if it's a problem, it's a problem. For many years, vegetables wasn't a problem either in terms of the insects.
Well,
because of DDT.
Well, really the problem when we used DDT as a guide.
Right, DDT was...
It may border on what Rambam said in the Chazon Ish. that these are the list of trifot, and it doesn't matter what.
Right. So let's see. Let's see a little. Let's look at some of the sources.
We have an Gemara. Who was it? Rav, who was not given to Paskin on
before,
because he was too much of a mumcha. So
it's also an interesting question. Maybe sometimes knowing too much. Okay, good. All these things play in. But
the Gemara specifically says that he.
Yeah.
I mean, which.
Right, it's going to relate to something, that may relate to something we're going to talk about. You'll notice I've been careful to say that these worms and these creatures, they're tiny. I didn't say microscopic, you know, on purpose. So let's see. Okay, let's start with, you know, again, the point of departure in terms of these halachas, the psukim and parsha shmini, source number 3, the yikapar giral of pasuk test, the pasuk says, as that tochum kol asher b'mayim, this is what you may eat amongst those creatures that are in the water, kol asher los napir v'kaskeses b'mayim b'yamim, v'anachol amosam tochilik, and everything has, as we know, fins and scales, right? All the creatures of the water have fins and scales. That's what I eat. But that's called sheret hamayim. Keep it in mind. We call nefesh achayash hamayim sheket tein lachem. They're considered an abomination. It doesn't have fins and scales. Abomination. You're not allowed to eat them. The pasuk yud aleph sheket tein lachem. Bsam lo sochel. Bsnivasam shaketu. And again, pasuk yud beis sums it up. A lot of verbiage here. Kol hashem lo snapir kaskez v'alayim sheket tein lachem. So what you're allowed to eat from marine creatures is that they have fins and scales, and that's it. Rashi defines, other than that, it's called Sheret HaMayim. Those things are called many other things, not all other things, but many of the things that are floating around the water are called Sheret HaMayim. Rashi defines, in Perek Yud Aleph there, Pasuk Yud, before source number 4, Dira Maso Sheret, Rashi writes, B'chol Makom, what does the word Sheret mean? Mashmo Dover Namuch, it's something that's going to low down, V'sheroches V'nov Anador, it's kind of, I don't know what's the right word. It's teeming, T-E-E-M, like teeming or slithering, you know, type of creature that moves around on the ground. That's what the word sherets means. That's some small thing. It's kind of low down and, you know, slithers across. Okay. Now the Torah later on in that same parak, toward the end of that same parak, and again it's parak Yud Aleph Vayikra in the source number. So that's source number 4. It says, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Mem Va'ocham Nivloso Yichabes V'gadol Tamei Arav V'anos Nivloso Yichabes V'gadol Tamei Arav. We don't need that Pasuk Mem Aleph. B'chol Asheret Hashoritz Al Aretz. Same thing. Before we were talking about sherets in the water. Here it's talking about Asheret Hashoritz Al Aretz. These creepy slithering creatures that are on the ground. Also Sheketu Loyocha. Also considered an abomination. Don't eat them. And it gives an example. Pasuk Mem is called Olechal Gachon. Since things that kind of slither across on their, like worms on their stomach. Right, or walks on 4 legs, or it has many legs, like a centipede, you know, these little insects that walk along with many legs. These are all considered sherets, and now to eat them because considered sheket. And again, I am Hashem, you're a holy people, and you shouldn't contaminate yourself with all these abominations. I must tell you, I remember a number of years ago, I was with my wife on a short vacation in San Francisco, a very beautiful city to visit. So if you've ever been to San Francisco, I have a place called Fisherman's Wharf. So you go along there, along the waterside there by the, you know, by the bay, between San Francisco and Oakland, and we're Alcatraz in the middle there. So you walk along there, it's called Fisherman's Wharf. It's a big tourist attraction, all kinds of shops, but they have all kinds of different seafood. I couldn't walk there. I absolutely turned my stomach to stuff that they were selling. You know, like you looked at it on display in these little tanks. You know, forget about that. You've seen crab and lobster. That, you know, that turns my stomach enough. But the other things are like insects with these. I thought of these psukim. No time before. You know, the Gemara, you know, according to some, you're supposed to think I'd love to have this, except the Torah doesn't allow it. I had no time whatsoever. It was just not a, you know, not a challenge, you know, to say I'm not going to eat this. Anyway, and then it says again, Pasuk Mem, hey, and finally, those Torahs abayim va'ofechol nefesh achalah res b'mayim chol nefesh res taros etc. Lahamdu ben atam and atar. That's the end of parshmin v'nechayah nechalas v'nechashah osrachos. So Rashi there in pasuk. Rashi there in the Pasuk Memhei says in source number 5, Lo Yachel Lechav Al Machal Koch, and then he says, The Ein Koru Sheret El Dover Namuch Kitzar Raglaim She'en Ol Nireh El Karoche Shunah. It's an important point, right? So what is a sheret? Someone just tiny, as small as you can't really see it except when it moves. Right? If you stare at it, it would just be a speck. It would look like a piece of dirt. It would look like a sand, whatever it is. You say, that's Rashi telling. What is a sheret? You won't even necessarily notice it unless it's moving. Then suddenly you see it moving. You realize it's a living creature. And again,
Is that a kula that if you don't see it moving?
Well, let's see. We're going to see this in 2 seconds. We'll see. Okay, pasuk mem hey. What does it mean? Kani Hashem malachem al menas to kablu mitzosai aleisheshem. I took you out of Mitzrayim. You keep these mitzvahs. That's the second part. Don't argue. Kani Hashem malachem bechulam tivot tzeisav kasi amale tamer rebei Rabbi Shmuel il molo aleishes on Mitzrayim ela b'shusha ein mitam b'shrotzim kishar umos dayim. You know, the whole reason we came out of Mitzrayim is so we shouldn't be mitam and shrotzim. That's how significant this is. In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will give you a picture as to why there's halachas we're machmir about the shvatim. We're concerned about it. It's a concern for us because the Torah says this was one of the reasons I took you out of Mitzrayim. Just to summarize the biblical sources, right, so we have also mentioned in Parshas Re'eh much more briefly, in source number 8, Dorm Yudalad Pasuk Tez, as that Tolkien the Kolash Shavarim, Kolash Shelo, Snapir Vekaskez Dochelo, you can eat anything which has fins and scales, and Pasuk Yud, Kolash Shelo, Snapir Vekaskez Dochelo, Tom Elokan. Fine. So now those are the primary sources, so to speak, asering, prohibiting, shrotim, right, to sheret hamayim, which is our topic for tonight. So now we turn to the source number 9, the Gemara in Makkah, Daf Tes Zayin Beis. All this is just, I'm not here to pask and shail about the worms and the fish, but just to give you the different, the relevant information, see what people are saying. Gemara says in Makkah, Tes Zayin Beis, Amar Abaye, Ocho Putiso, Loke Arbo. If you eat something called putiso, you get 4 sets of malchus. If you notice in those psukim back in source 4, all the psukim in Parsha Shmini keeps repeating it. It's sheret, don't be metame, and it says it again in Re'e. So you have multiple hasros, multiple warnings, multiple psukim outlawing things. So the Gemara says if you eat this putiso, you get 4 malchus. Nemolo loka chomesh, certain type of ant, you get 5 malchus. And they said mishum sheret hasharet haaretz, tira loka sheish mishum sheret ho. You have different types of shrotzim. They crawl and they hop and they fly and they jump and do all kinds of things. So each one is a different life if you go out and eat them. So that's, I remember Shechta Longa told us that there was once at a chasana, and Rabbi Yosef Weiss, who taught the Yoridean, YU for many, many, many years, so Rabbi Weiss, they were at a chasana, and so they were serving the main course, and he said he preferred the fish. He asked for fish, you know, instead of the meat, because he was machmir, he didn't want to eat the meat, whatever the hashgacha was. So Rabbi Tendler, who's ever telling us, what do you mean? The Gemara says with some of these things you get 4 or 5, but the meat you only get 1 set of malchus. It's safer even the meat. You know, if there's a problem, then the meat's safer. But anyway, that's what it says in that Gemara. What is putisa? So Rashi, again, source 10, and Makkah Tazan and Beis, Ocho putisa, Bola Sheret Hamayim. Putisa is an example, whatever it is in English, I don't know, but putisa is an example of sheret hamayim. It's one of these slithering creatures, the tiny creatures that is in the water. So says Rashi. And lokar bo shnei lavim ksum b'sheret hamayim, because there are 2 lavim that are mentioned by sheret hamayim. Echad b'toras kohanim, one in Vayikra and Shmini, the echad b'shetor, the other one in Dvarim and Re'ei. Ushnei lavim ksum b'sheret stam. Right, al tishak tisal shosech mo sheret zor. So tama masha bein sheret hamayim bein sheret zatari dalin. Right, and then the end of it, he said tzira loke sheish b'sheret loshon. Again, he says it loshon kana v'nemucha shenikeres behilucha b'koshi. It can be seen, you know, when it moves with difficulty, right? Even when it moves, sometimes hard to tell. The nearest karochesh, it looks like it says slithering along. Similarly, again, I just would not to belabor the point, but similarly, Rashi says in Erevin, Daf Chof Chas Mar Aleph, and that's in the Gemara repeats the sugya there, Tzira lo kesheish, loshon sheretz, dover shu nod baretz, the eino nira ela yidei sheirutzu v'richusho v'tei kotno, because it's so small, because it's so tiny, you can't see it unless it's moving, and again, in Pesachim Chavdal Reveiz, the Tzira sheretz, loshon rochesh, anur v'eino nira. Okay, now, so I keep saying, and Rashi keeps emphasizing a few places, they're tiny, they're small, you can only see them when they move, but you can see them. Okay? I avoided on purpose the use of the word microscopic. Okay? Because if it's microscopic, it does not present a halachic issue. And there's an error on the source, the Aruch HaShulchan, instead of pay dollars, should be sif lamed vav, not lamed hay. So I'll read it to you inside. It's a mistake on the sheet, so I apologize. But it says the parak, instead of pay dollars, sif lamed vav. Yesh Misha Kosav B'Shem Chachme HaTeva, the Rosh Hashulchan writes, some say in the name of the scientists, Tamistaklo B'Zchuchis HaMegadelis. If you look in a glass, that a magnifying glass, right, Shakur Inspectiva, or whatever it is, Yira B'Chomet, you'll find in certain vinegar, Mole Toloim. If you look with a magnifying glass, you'll see all kinds of different creatures, or worms and other things like that. Okay? The neighbor chometz ain chashash kamoshis bar that halam is hab metalosh atira torah. Okay. Now amnam shamatish bechol minei mayim. I've heard to the chashocher all kinds of water. Yichu b'meik shomim, especially rainwater that pools. Mole bruim dakim she'ain ayin yichol erosam. They're filled with again all kinds of tiny things you can't see with the naked eye. I once heard when I was a kid, I heard from somebody who traveled somewhere, the raw derech zechuches hamigadelas, and he saw through a magnifying glass, admaod kirivovos common in my mind, thousands, whatever, huge numbers of teeming insects in water, right? But common abrul fiza echaru shosim mayim. How do we drink water? He wasn't in New York. How do we drink water? Right? Share elo abrul mishav mekarm amnava enesu delo asra torah b'masha ein ha'ayin sholetes bo. The Torah does not asr something which is not visible to the naked eye. If it's not visible, then the Torah doesn't asr it. Delo nitna torah l'malachim. What they say in New York is the copods, they can be seen. The people went to investigate. That's what you can see.
Well,
you're
not familiar between whether I can see it when it's moving, or I can see that something's moving. Because in water, something makes ripples.
Right,
you see something.
Because I don't go into the whole water.
If you look at them, they have the filter in there.
Yeah.
You take it out and see if it's black.
Yeah, right. I don't go to the water thing now. I'm just using the Choshokan's point. He says the lonit the Torah la malachim. The Torah wasn't given to malachim. The lotain hare kamen achukim kasu. Listen to this. Many investigators say shagam kol haavir air is mole bruim dakim and adakim full of tiny germ whatever else is floating around in the air. Uksadam poseach piv bolei tamalim. You open your mouth, you swallow. Elavadai that anyone who says it doesn't make any sense, and Kevin Shain Ayan Sholit Pahem Lav Kumhu, and so on. Omnam, Kama Shain Yacholiros, I feel a naked Hashemish, I feel a dak with a dak. But if you can see it with a naked eye, even if it's, you need good light, and it's very small, still, Havisheret Gomor. So, that's the Orcha Shulchan writes. What I do have on the sheet is on the next page, source number 15, Rav Moshe Feinstein echoes the thought in the Tshuva, and Yordei Chelek Beis Simon Kuf Mem Vav. Mipnei Shatoro is in the middle of the tshuva, but the part that's relevant to us. Mipnei Shatoro lo osra elo toloim ushkotzer mosum sheniru leinayim. Kedashon and pizik nagarim simcha zelag and brisk. Asher kain omar ganim chayim alev mi brisk atal. Uve etzem lo hiat sorech lahav midvarm shnischam to the hakola avir. Malay mishak mishkotzim or mosum kailu. The whole air is filled with oils. Vachol nashima nashima. Bole ha'odam kama alof mulai millionen mehem. Every breath you take, maybe you swallow millions of these tiny things. Over hechrek she'enam bechlal ashkotzim rosim nesam b'torah. So for sure, these are not among the ashkotzim the rosim talan the Torah asers. The chain dimon relates to other dinim also. Shema shezita agam shezelek zal omer she'en lischash maros domim in microscopes. You have a shalom hilchus needle. You want to check the color. You know whether there's a discharge of blood or not. So you can look different if you look under a magnifying glass. Never mind. And the same thing below chain beribur shel tefillin. Tefillin supposed to be square. So look what a mat. That's why I never understood. Sometimes sukkah time, you get a poster, you see a pictures of a guy checking the esrog with a magnifying glass. I thought it's not necessary. That's silly. Not silly, man, but it's not necessary. Now, you don't have to look at a magnifying glass.
That didn't work for the infrared for the elf.
Okay, that's right. Whatever's near it.
So with the magnifying glass, there is a toilet too, because like an eye chart, right? You're standing 20 feet away, you can't.
Right.
But then you walk up close.
But it goes by
what it is.
Right, but Rabbi Shachter once commented that it goes by the average person. He once told us that he was asked a shaila by a guy who was a dentist. Yeah, two analysis in here, but a dentist are used to working with very, very tiny, precise pieces of metal, whatever you fit into the teeth, right? You know, whatever. And so his eyes were trained to be very, very precise. And he said the guy asked him, he can see on his own tefillin, his eyes are trained to look, that they're not square, it's not sharp. Now, Rosh Hashanah says doesn't go by what you, it goes by the average person. Okay, your eyes are trained, you know, so that'll relate to that question. Anyway, I just want to...
But even the average person, like, you know, a street sign, one street sign, you know that street, you know what it says. The other street sign...
I understand. But there's still...
One you can read, one you can't, right, because you know what it says already.
Right, that's different.
I use a magnifying glass, so now
I hear
the shape... And I okay. With my naked eye, I recognize this is a bug.
But you have to be able to see it without the eye. That's the point. I think when they're talking about things in the air, you can't see anything in the air right now. You know, now if I looked in the
even if after looking with a magnifying glass, now
I still can't see it.
Now I can see it because I saw it first with the magnifying glass.
Possibly. Right. Anyway, all of that's the background. Yeah.
They're never mentioning the Shulchan. No, on Shulchan.
It could be later in the Shulchan.
No, he's earlier.
No, this is Moshe Feinstein.
So Moshe Feinstein is quoting Reb Chaim Halevi in
Brief. Right. They don't quote it.
Moshe Feinstein is Ilmiel.
Yeah, right. I'm saying they don't quote it, right. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so that's what you see in terms of that. So that's why I avoided the use of the word microscopic, because these worms, microscopic, I'm talking about, it's going to play a role. The key sugya in terms of these worms in the fish is source number 16, Gemara Chulin, Daf Samach Zayin Beis, end of the third paragraph of Chulin. Gemara says, Omer Rav Sheshes Breidor of Edi, source 16, Kukiani Asiri. Whatever that is, kukiani, some type of creature, is osir, my timer. May alma also, because they came from the outside. Just look in Rashi for a second, the source 17. Rashi says, what is kukiani? Toloim shebekovei v'shebereya. Certain types of worms that are in the liver and in the lung. Rashi's talking about an animal. Tosas, we'll come back to Gemara in a second. Tosas in source 18 disagrees, and most assume like Tosas. Tosas, Kukiana, Asir, Pirsha, countries, Tolash, recovery, Rekosha, and Tam. He thinks it's difficult, he disagrees, and we'll have to see what his Kasha is now. Just look at the third line. Ela, Omer, Rabbeinu Tam, the Bedogim, Iri. But the Tom says he wants to talk about in fish, not in animals. Okay, that's how he works it out. All right?
What's the difference?
Well, we're going to see later. We'll see later in the Gemara. But he says, talk about in fish. So getting back to the Gemara now. So Kukiani Asiri. The Shakespeare's bread of Edie says, Kukiani is also. These type of worms that are found in fish is also. My time, why? Alma also. They came from the outside. The fish swallowed it. From, you know, they were floating around in the water. The fish ate it. You know, and very possibly that's what they do with these Anisakis fish. And the Anisakis worms, usually a smaller crustacean eats it first, and the bigger fish, you know, what do you call that? The life chain? Food chain, whatever. Food chain, the life cycle, the food. So then a bigger fish eats it. But that's what happened here. But Alma also. So Maski's Lord of Ashi.
So if the kosher fish ate a non kosher fish.
So they're going to digest it or not. That's the thing. These worms don't ever disappear. So when you eat a thing, so the system breaks it down. But let's see. Let's see what the Gemara says.
No, so if a kosher fish eats a non kosher fish.
Yeah.
So do you and that's the nature of the food chain. Do you have to now check?
No, because if the digest, if you found the whole fish inside, that's a different story. But that's the thing, the worms remain whole inside.
Why wouldn't you have a chief check it?
I don't know.
The fish's digestive system.
Right, that's the point. You got that. Let's see.
Different than the worms.
But the worms. That's what we're going to see. Let's see. So the Gemara says, "Ima amaska from Ashi. Ima amos l'shtaku dark beis harei." Maybe that's what you're saying. Rav Ashi says, "If you're right of Sheshes that it came from outside, l'shtaku dark beis harei, they should be found. You know, in, I guess we call it the digestive tract, right? They, you know, it should be found. If they ate it, it should be found in the digestive tract." Apparently it's not. So Rav Ashi disagrees. Ika da Amri, another lashon in the Gemara, is Amr of Shisha Bereder of Idi Kukianu Saru. This Kukiani creature is Mutter. My time of wine. Here's the key word for us right now. Minei Gavli. Okay, Minei, we'll see what it means in a second. Minei Gavli. Okay, or Minei Gavli. Amr of Ashi Pshita, of course. Dima Alakasu, because if they came from outside, Lishtaku Darach Beis Haaretz, you found the digestive tract. Is a testicle thing. Okay. It's found in the digestive tract, yeah? The hilchus of the halacha is kukiani asiri. No, the halacha is ataka asiri. Why? My timer? Even they didn't swallow them, but mainam nine, when the fish sleeps, they come in the ears or the nose, they come in various other orifices. They're able to be, when the fish is asleep, they come in other ways. That's why they're not in the digestive tract. Now, for our purposes, the fish to understand from this presentation of the Gemara is that if the worm, again, these tiny worms, come in from the outside, they're osir. Right? There's something the fish swallowed or entered in some other fashion, it's osir. Okay, look in Rashi 19. Me'alma osu. Right, says Rashi, again, Chulin Samachan, base verse 19. Alma also, Shebalosan HaBehema, again, that's Rashi, Shitoso, from a Behema, we hold like Tosa, most of Shalom, like Tosa, a dog, same difference here. Ima Ochlin, it was swallowed it with its other food, Utchiloson Sharto Al Arts. It first became a Sheret, again, Rashi's Shita on the earth and our, on the ground, our, Tosa would say, Mayim. It was first a Sheret HaMayim, then the fish ate it, so it doesn't become kosher now that it swallowed it, right? Minog Gavli, but the things that came from inside, Minog Gavli, says Rashi, Loshon Gadli min habehema atzmain gain of a lav sheretz arts ninu. And this is Josh Moffort. Sounds like what we call spontaneous generation, which is an accepted scientific fact, as Aristotle and others, you know, for many centuries, till about, I don't know, 150 years ago, something like that, that certain types of creatures can emerge from inanimate objects without, and not be born through, you know, male-female reproduction. Okay, there are certain things that can happen. That's what it seems to be. But Rashi says, godly, it grows. Meinam naim v'alibusa says, Rashi, k'shvehema yeshena nechnosim v'chotma v'misham l'chana hareoch v'chavit hilchach v'mishtachet eresar. Fine. Okay, so that's the first part of the Gemara. So the Gemara distinguishes, the Gemara says here, that if it came in from the outside, the worm is also, as opposed to if it came from the inside. However, we're going to understand that was spontaneous generation. Again, the words, Minog Gavli Rasha, the grew inside the creature itself. Continues the Gemara, source 20. Toloim, regarding Toloim. Darni, now to different, before they were talking about Kukyani, now it comes something else called Darni. Darni de Bisra Asiri. Darni that are found in meat, in animal meat, is usr. But to kavre, but it's found in fish, it's sharyam. It's mutter. Darni is a type of worm that if it's found in meat, it's usr. But if it's found in fish, it's mutter, says the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Amal Ravina Lime. Ravina once told his mother, I guess she was preparing supper for him, Avle Levan Echel. When you cook the fish, you mix these things up with it, I'll eat it. You know, make a fillet out of it, I won't look, you know, I guess you don't want to see it. That's what Rashi says, you know, look at 21 the second Rashi. Avlele, the kavri b'toch adogim, trio som shalo erev akutfom. I don't want to see them, I don't mind eating them, but then I don't want to look at it. You know, you grind it up and make it, you know, it's a patty, gefilte fish, exactly, you'll, you know, I'll eat it. But the point is, he's willing to eat it.
Make a
shear
by grinding?
No, it's not the issue. It's not a problem.
It's
a berry anyway, but anyway, so it's a yeah, yeah, it's, okay. But anyway, he doesn't want to look at it. But that's what Rashi says, okay? Now, so what are Darni? Again, the previous Rashi in source 21. Darni, Toloim HaNimtsoyim, and here's the key line, Bein Or Labosa, like I told you before, between the skin and the flesh. That's what they're found, like in the meat itself, so to speak, between the skin and the flesh. Kishimavshitim HaBehema, when you skin the animal, you find it, or the fish. Right, so the Gemara says that if it's in meat, it's usr, and fish, it's mutter. Why? So we don't have to go into all that right now, just to say very simply, because with meat, meat requires shchita to be usr, to be mutter, right? Otherwise, the problem of Avram and Achai, right? And I'll eat from a... So it requires shchita. But these creatures, the shchita, they weren't shechita. They remain alive, so it's still Avram and Achai. Mashiach and fish don't need shchita. All you got to do is catch it, right? I'll see for you. You gather it out, and you have it. So the Mela, this is included. That's the Gemara makes the chiluk. Well, it's part of the animal, but it doesn't come mutter to shechita, is my point. But again, the Gemara concludes the end of the paragraph in 20, the hami ki gavlon beheteir ka gavlon. So here, what we have is the Gemara mefureshes that says that the worms that are found between, let's say anasakis, let's say kind of worm, worms found between the flesh and the meat is mutter. It's an open Gemara in fish, not in, I'm sorry, as meat. I don't mean animal meat, but in fish, it's mutter. Okay, and that's what generally was assumed for a long, long time. And if they found these tiny anisakis worms in that part of the fish, once a furish Gemara that says that it's mutter, it's halachically insignificant. Why minah kagavli?
Now.
Says so. And we're going to read in the Gemara as well. Well, I read in the Sahara.
It grows
in the fish. And again, that touches on this spontaneous generation. I'll get to it in a second. Those ones that are found there.
You
know, yes.
But if those same ones are found elsewhere.
Oh, that's where the fun starts. That's exactly where the fun starts. Okay, we'll get to that point shortly. Now, the Rashba in source number 22, thank you. The Chiddush Rashba says, Murana, the Gargamor says, Darni, and others have the Girsa, Murni, whatever the type of creature is. Murana, the Bisra, Siron, the Kavra, Shori, says the Rashba, Pirish Toloim Shanasin Lola Behema Bain Orla Boss of Hainla Dogim. Umishum Hachis Shabidogim Sharu. In fish it's mutter. Here the Rashbo's words also loaded, and it's part of the issue today. The Hanu Vadai Mine Kogavlu. Kogavli. They definitely emerge from the fish itself. Okay, the lodama lekukiani. It's not like the earlier gemara about the kukiani. Shame in slime b'meyei hadag that are found in the belly of the fish. Okay, the osulei ma'alma that came from outside. Umishum hachi asiri. So Rashba neatly summed it up. The earlier gemara kukiani, the gemara says that's osur because those worms came from the outside. They're found in the fish's stomach. Well, it wasn't found in the digestive tract. They came in through the ear. How did they came in? But they were found inside other places in the fish. That's osur. But the ones that are found between the flesh and the so-called meat of the fish, ben orla basa, that's mutter, says the Rashba, because dahanu vadai minei kagavli, definitely. Now that opens the door, that statement, to what some of the poskim today are saying. Well, what if we know that it's not so definite that that's what they are? The Gemara Rashba seems to be learning the Gemara that it's only if it's definitely the case that they're found in, you know, that they grew from the fish itself. What if today we know that that's not the case? We find worms, we know that, and again, it touches on a spontaneous germ, we know that it doesn't work like that. Okay, they didn't grow from nowhere, they didn't grow simply pop out of the, out of the fish.
Rabes concedes that there's no spontaneous generation?
Well, that's part of this whole discussion. I can't speak for each person.
Right.
It's somewhat ironic, because some of the people, it's somewhat ironic in a number of different ways.
Right.
You know, probably I was referring to this issue as Rabbi Slifkin's revenge, because all of a sudden science is okay, you know, so it depends who fits in where. I don't want to, you know, make a political statement, you know, but the Enochanami, maybe that's okay. Part of that. So some raise that issue, you know, again, some, you know, some say, I saw a tshuva from Yecheskel Roth, who's the posting in Bar Park, the Carlsberger Dayan, in Bar Park, a major posting on the Chassidim. The Shulchan Aruch says Mutter, what are you bothering me for? I don't think, I don't want to hear about the scientists, I don't know about anybody else. It's Mutter, right? I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's one direction. So yes, it touches on that issue.
That's what the Chazanish said also.
In different ways. You have to look each time. I mean, you know, even
so the irony,
you know,
is now that all the
I don't want to get into the politics. But the Rashba's lesson is Vadai. And by the Meiri also, I printed so the Meiri says Ulinian beer, near on that same sugi in Chulin Sama Simon Beis, Ulinian beer, Murna, who talas and into the Zachabosa, Hame Behema, Hame the Dogim, Vadai, Lo Michutzbo, Elosom Nishavu. That's where they were created, inside the fish somehow. Okay? The Uvahu Inyan, Minhu Gavli, that's what Minhu Gavli means. Okay? The Amar Allah, the Bisra, sir, but the Kavar, sorry, fish is allowed. Now later on, he refers to the Rambam. You had a question, I'm sorry, yeah.
And just a clarification.
Yeah.
It becomes very interesting. You say microscopic isn't a problem.
Right.
Very often the initial elements could be very microscopic.
Very good. So that's precisely how some will reconcile, let's say, our scientific knowledge with the Enochanami, the spontaneous generation has been discredited as a scientific possibility. Hagam that Aristotle and others way back believed in it. But the response is, yeah, okay, we can accept the fact that the fish swallowed it or whatever came into the fish some other way, but at the time when it came in, it was microscopic and therefore halachically not an entity, and then grew and developed in the fish.
Exactly.
That's exactly
that's
what someone responds. That's what Belsky and others have said. Okay, that's exactly what they'll say. That's how you can reconcile. You know, even, I mean, I'll have it later, Makan Michtam Elio has such a piece, Dessel said that it appears to us, when you're near, it looks like a spontaneous generation. Not really. We can accept science that it's not really spontaneous generation. It came in. But when it came in, we couldn't see it. This microscope is exactly correct. Okay, but anyway, but I stress that both the Rashba and the Meiri mention the word Vadai, which again opens the door to there be any, that this Gemara will not apply if there's any kind of suffix about the origin of these worms, then that's not concluded in this Gemara, and that's exactly what some claim. Now, at the end of the year.
That relates to this, but spontaneous generation, is that a problem hashkafically? Yeah, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu you know, Masa Bereshis and nothing. There's no Bria Achrei Masa Bereshis.
Well, but this is included. Say it's included in the Bria. I mean, the Talmidim is a shear by itself. You know, there's a Mishnah Chulin and I talk about it. Right, it comes. Right, it doesn't come out of nowhere. It grows out of the ground. It can grow from an inanimate object.
Scientific definition of spontaneous generation.
Well, it means it's created without female male reproduction. That's what it means, right? And it's created without
it's
reproduction.
It
comes, grows out of dirt. They grow like that. Have with the mouse. The Mishnah Chulin in the Ninth Parak has a certain type of a mouse, and you know, Tversi Stroll writes the Mishnah. Tversi Stroll. Tversi Stroll quotes on that Mishnah Chulin, that quotes some German textbook. He uses very knowledgeable in science. Tversi Stroll. Tversi lived in the 1800s. He writes that he quotes the name in the book and the page on the footnote, you know, where the German scientist, he saw it, he was in Egypt, he was here, whatever it was. And then Rabbi Lyman has an essay where he Kadarko tracked down that book which the Tversi Stroll was quoting, and he thinks maybe misunderstood. Anyway, a different discussion. The Mir at the end quotes the Rambam. He says Masha Timsa, because I only quoted it because we have to mention the Rambam. You know, the Rambam has a very different understanding of the whole Gemara. But the Mir disagrees that Masha Timsa the Gdola Machabram Shalom Motzu Het B'Dogma Ela B'Maliach Shislia. Okay, he writes at the end that Dvarim Zorim Ein V'Yef Shalamidim. It doesn't work. I'll just show you the Rambam. I don't want to talk about his sheet that much. The Rambam 24 Hilchos Machalos Asuras Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam denies spontaneous generation in a living fish. He says Tolos and Inseis B'Mei Hadog M'Moch Shabaros Shabema Laninfes B'Bos Asura. He asks all the things that are found in the fish. I the Gemara Avol Dag Meliach Sheislia. It was after it's dead and salt and it's rotted a little bit. Okay, you know, then Harei Tolos Shabamuteris. So the Rambam is willing to allow spontaneous generation after the death. That's what Magen Mishnah explains. After the Rabbeinu looking at Magen Mishnah.
It's a mashma like that. It's mashma that even if it was the before, the melicha and all the
brings it out. Yeah. So the Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi says shibushu zeh, but it looks like the Magen Mishnah says nearish Rabbeinu sover shakola talam in some dog mechayim asurin v'zeh kukiani dasiri v'tam nipnei she'enam mishabim imenu. They don't grow from, they don't generate from within the fish itself. El nichnasim lo derech nechira, comes into various orifices. Mishamu the kabishan who kishuzu achar misa or the kavosim bisos is something like meat. Okay, that's what he says. Is the Rabbi that quotes the Rabbi disagrees? Fine. Now I mentioned before. Before, that the some Rishonim insist that it's only when say it's Vadai, but there's a different direction. And again, the Vadai opens up, and that's what some contemporary posts can say, that we have at least, the science is at least challenging the Vadai. Right? I mean, we know for sure that there's only, the Vadai Mimine Kogabu, that it grew from inside. And now that we know, or at least there's a possibility, at least it injects a suffix, and you can't say we know for sure, so therefore it should be also. That's one of the things that they're saying. But there's Agos Ashri here in the Ra'an Chulin, Paragraph Gimel Sin and Samach Tez, okay, he says, Hachi Mash Malishin, the Ayale Be'usu, the Losh Lusu Shah Bedogim, Aval Toloin Bekabre Borer Hulano Deminoka Gavli, Ulachach Shari, Hilchach Toloin, Shinim Subaguf Hadag Sharu, the Shinim Subachotma Vamayu Asiri. One second, if we're not sure, so why are we only not sure about these worms? We should never have a case where the worms are going to be kosher. What case is there that the worms? You're going to tell me now? Well, again, what some of the Osrim claim is they've done studies on the life cycle of these worms. Apparently there's interest in them when I read it, because they also pose a health threat. The scientists are looking into it, not for kosher reasons, but apparently if you eat raw fish, and I mean, here we eat sushi, but you know, in certain countries they eat lots of raw fish. And if you eat raw fish and the fish has these worms, and apparently can cause, it causes stomach problems and so on for human beings that consume it. And that's why there's been, interest in looking into it for health reasons. So they trace the life cycle of these things. They're jettisoned from, the eggs are laid from some larva, whatever it is, larva comes in it, and it's eaten by a crustacean and by a smaller fish, and then it goes out with the waste of the big fish and it starts over again. It's a cycle. But if that's the case, that's true. If of all of these worms, they all came from the outside in some fashion or another. And yet here you see that the Gauza Shri says it depends. You know, he says some are mutter and some are usser and so on. Okay, the Beis Yosef also says,
is there a concept of statistical likelihood?
Yeah, so that's exactly another thing that people are saying. You know, those who investigated, how much they investigated. They've taken samples from all the ocean, all the different ones. Now, again, there's one prominent Talmud Chacham, I saw an expert in fish, right here in America, and I didn't see it. I just heard yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see it. I heard last night that he was in the Bar Park of Flatbush this week and did a whole presentation. His name is Shneur Zalman Revach, who's an expert in fish and kashrus and Eretz Yisrael. And apparently you can link to it somehow and see it. He did it with charts and films and showing how why he thinks it's also he's one, and he's gone to different rabbanim and he thinks it's also. Some people say, okay, so how many did you check? Apparently, he's done a lot of experiments. He's done experiments in different stages of the fish's life. You know, where there are more or less of these things in there, and then. There has been research. Whether it's enough to make a change in halacha is questionable. Yeah. So,
the question's not going to sound right.
Yeah.
But is there a chiyuv to seek the sale?
Very, very good. So that's another issue. Again, I'm
unlike when we have Yosham, which it was resurrected, because that was existed as halacha. So people weren't observant or mixed.
See, that one of Rabbi Belsky.
This is something like. It's not like a chiyuv that we have.
Right, so Rabbi Belsky, who's one of the poskim of the OU, Rabbi Belsky and Tarav Das, together with a shechta, the halachic authorities of the OU, Belsky is the leading voice in terms of being makel on this. And he says, you know, look, the Gemara says we're not mechuyev to now become experts in different types of parasites to figure out how it got in and where it got in from. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says it's mutter, it's found here, and that's, he said, that's it. You know, we don't have to now look into it, like you say, to start investigating. This is part of, again, I'm not here to pass, I'm just trying to show you what the issues are. Let's read a few more things. Yeah.
One other question, I mean, it seems like when people talk about Sheketz Olachem and Shrat Sim, things that are visible. If you have something that doesn't have any of its own, never lives free. It never looks free on the outside. You'll never see it. You'll never see it because it only.
So that's another one of Rabbi Belsky's claims is that it's not even called Sheret HaMayim because it's not in the water. That's a creative thing. That's one of the things he claims, yeah. And one of the things he claims. All these are good. These are all kindness that people are. Well, there's a lot of. No, he feels. Look, the truth is, what I do in my other paper. There. No, I don't think so. No pressure. I mean, again, there's different sheets about it. Okay? The point, I guess I should say at this point, we're jumping around, but, you know, the issue, the reason it's come up more recently is that they found that, you know, that these worms, you know, are found in various other places in the fish besides between the skin and the flesh. And therefore, the theory is that they get between the skin and the flesh by burrowing in. In fact, this is what I've showed, there are top tunnels or, you know, passageways that the fish, the worms kind of bore through.
That's okay.
Okay. Huh?
The CDC knows that. It's a The fact is, there's a tremendous rise in the epidemiology of this insect. It's nothing to do with Yiddishkeit.
Right, no, correct. And that's what they also say, that it's found in certain waters more, perhaps, because of pollution, perhaps other things, you know, there have been more. Also because, you see, it used to be when you, and this is one of the things that Rabbi Bess in California points out, it used to be that when you caught a fish, so you gutted the fish right away and you served it up, right? And so you never looked there was nothing in the stomach. You got rid of it. You would have said it before. You don't eat that part, right? But now, when they catch the fish in Thailand, okay, and then they ship it over here, and it comes over there, and by the time you get it to the fish store to look at it here, you open it up, the attacker can see all these worms in the stomach area, you know, which seems to indicate that maybe that's where they came from originally. That's what many want to claim, that Anastachys worms are not...
Yeah. If you kill them and eat them right away, the insects are the part of the stomach.
Right,
if they let them stay dead... Then they escape from the stomach. They cannot live in the stomach.
Right. So
they go into the
body. And that's what they claim, that therefore the ones that are found in the body simply borrowed in early. And therefore they're not minei gavli. They didn't grow in there. That's exactly what the machmirim want to claim. They came from the stomach. They came that way. You know, so that's part of the claim.
Generation.
Huh? Well, again, we can go back to the microscopic theory. But the issue is, these are the best claims also, you know, that they've shown in scientific investigation that the fish swallow these parasites, Anastachys worms, when they're not microscopic. So he kind of, what are you going to say? They were usur, and now he swallows them, and they go into the skin, and now they become, you know, isur nepach lios heter. They become mutter. So Rabbi Belsky argues, well, they grew. If you look in Rashi, that's a medayik and not Rashi. Minei gavlu gadlu, like you said, even if they came in already whole, but they grew in the skin. So anyway, those are all the issues. Let's just look at a couple other things. You can see why it's, you can see here in our own shir why it's such a loaded issue. There's so many different ways of looking at it.
They have responsible posting. The issue here is that you can very soon come down. You can eat only grass.
Right,
maybe grass is more.
You can eat grass,
but Rabbi, I don't see the chiluk because it's
basically the claim is we know now, or science knows that these worms came from the outside. They're usur. I mean, that's I'm not sure what it is.
Well, the fish is right.
No, talk about a kosher fish, right? This worm is inside this flesh. So the Gemara said it's mutter. Yeah, but we know that it came from the outside. So now, what was the Gemara talking about? Maybe the Gemara was talking about a different kind of worm that maybe doesn't exist anymore. We don't have these particular worms that are found nowadays in the skin of the fish. Science has demonstrated pretty conclusively, or at least what some people assume is pretty conclusively, that these worms came from the outside, and therefore are in the category of what the Gemara answered. The Gemara only mutters matter those that came inside, whether we believe in spontaneous generation. That's what I want to go into, and I've just looked at the spontaneous generation issue. I just quoted a couple of sources. I don't want to harp on it too much. But the Gemara has in Shabbos Kuf Zayin Rebeis, or carp on it either way, right? That's what the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Zayin Rebeis says. It's talking about killing creatures on Shabbos. So you're not allowed, Nefilas Neshama, it's one of the Malachas, you're not allowed to kill on Shabbos. So the Gemara there says, Rav Elazar, Omer Ahore Kina B'Shabbos, Kahore Gomel B'Shabbos. You kill a Kina as a louse, lice, you know, the tiny louse. Okay, you kill that on Shabbos like killing a camel, a big animal. But you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So Matzko V'Yosef, Ad Kamel Pliga Bona Leda B'Leza, Ela B'Kina. Shaina Parvarav, Shash Kotzim Rosen Parvarav, Ela Pligi. And then B'Kina, one opinion says, B'Kina, you're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. Okay? Why? So it doesn't say anything. Rashi explains in earlier in Shabbos, Yud Beis Amar Aleph, Dibur Maaseh Matirin, source number 30, the second part of Rashi, V'kina eina paravarava. Kina does not reproduce. So says Rashi. Ela mibasar adam hi shoretzes. It springs out of the human flesh. Again, that's spontaneous generation. That's a Rashi thought. That was the science of the time. And we know that that's not true. Now the question, of course, becomes: so what do we do with that once we know that it's, that it's not true? Well, now, it's determined.
Right, something about pitriot.
Yeah, many things. Right, because it grows out of the ground. Yeah, grows not out of the ground. Right. Look in 31. The Shochar Sadeh Hilchos Shabbos. And what we need is the middle line there. It says that. Where is it now? Avokina, two lines in the second last line. Avokina mutter laharga, and the Mishnah Berurah says, "Hatam kenal or moshim shevelsim and aglom and aperish shivisha gosman kon toim shabosar from jadil laharga and potter tosna dabonan." But any of these creatures that come out of rotting fruits and other types of decaying excrement and so on, as long as they don't reproduce, also dabonan. The Mishnah Berurah passes like that. Now that was the whole issue. There is a sefer which I have quoted a couple times before called Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Huttman's Pachad Yitzchak, but Pachad Yitzchak. Yitzhak Lampranti, who's an Italian Talmud, wrote an encyclopedia. It goes further than the encyclopedia Talmud, it goes all the way up to Tav. Right, so in his Erech on Seda Asura, he talks about Seda trapping and killing on Shabbos. So he says, Vani Atzara Kosev, this is in Seda, Ilav de Mistapina Amina de Bazmanenu, it's a couple hundred years ago, Shechachme Hatoldos Hibitu, Viro, Viyodu, Vikosu, the whole Baal Chai, Yeh Mashiach. Have them in a baitim, where they come from eggs. Even the tiniest things, they hatch some tiny eggs. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. The chosa hochiach b'rayos burus. They prove this with, incontrovertible proof. In Cain, shomer nafshi yechmehem v'lo yaharo. Don't kill any kina or anything on Shabbos. V'al yechach nizatzum sofek chiv chat. He says it didn't change this because we know in science that the kina does reproduce. Then he sent it to his rebbe. The rebbe wrote back, no, we can't change what the Torah says and so on and so forth. That's the Pachad disquisition. Rabbi Elio Dessler, and it's printed in the Michtav of Elio, in the Chelek Dalad Michtav of Lamed Aleph, the second Michtav of Lamed Aleph, there's a footnote from the person who put this out, Rabbi Dome, I think, no? Put out the Michtav of Elio. Sahar Kamel, Sahar Kamel, put out the Mifta Meliel. So he has a footnote, he discussed, Masha Shamati, the parish, we peak, Hotchel, Shahad Muzatal, Kishinif, Nishal, all those dinim achadim, you know, which when we know that the Lafi Metzias, Shinis Galab, and Mechka, TV, Bidoris Achronim, you know, things have changed based on scientific knowledge and so on and so forth. And he mentions all these different, you know, all these different, the Harikina, he talks about all these things. Anyway, so he has a long piece, and, you know, about you know, a lot of these water overnight because a snake can put the poison in, and we know that all these, he talks about all these things, page 355 and 356, you can look it up. Okay, he mentions, right, the Rishonim, that's right. So that's the question, how much do we say that? Anyway, he's willing to say that, you know, there are certain things which we can say, Chazal, it looks like it to us, right, spontaneous, it looks to us like spontaneous generation. We can't see these, like you said before, we can't see these tiny eggs and so on. So anyway, the post can deal with it. Getting back to our topic, but this may relate to the spontaneous generation question. It does relate to it. Getting back to our question, so Lahalacha, the Shulchan Aruch writes, and that's what we have on source 35, finally, the Yoredeya, the Hilchos Siman Pei Daled, right? It says in Sif Tazayin, Kol Toloim, Hanim Soim Bebehema, Bein Shehem, Bein Orla Bosa, Bein Shehem, Asurin. That's an animal. But Hanim Soim Bedogim, in fish, Bemeyem Asurin, Bein Orla Bosa, Betocha Bosa Mutarin. Now again, those who want to be make will say, and it doesn't distinguish whether it came from here, we have to look if it came from there, it's mutter, and that's it, you know, that's what Shulchan Aruch says. And the Shach, in the next, do you have the Shach here? Yeah, in the next page, the Shach says, Haninsoim b'dog m'meyem osur, d'ma'alma osur tochum, alinsoim ben bein olav osur shari d'mehem g'deilim, the less b'shmein v'chai, dog m'asil ha'masaga, like we said before, and the Primogodim says, and in time, the dog may all of us assure those shakwe when a chai, or be may I am a sur misfaker, shemme alma heim of the low vadai. He says, even in the stomach, we're only asur because the suffix. So that's another thing Arbelsky says. It's based on his prima godin. Even, you know, we say the also want to say, but it's found between the flesh. Maybe it came from the stomach or it did come. We have rise it came, but even there it's only a suffix. So now we go back to our Rashbo who said, has to be vadai. That's the question. Does it have to be vadai that it came from inside in order to be mutter, or does it have to be vadai that it came from outside in order to be usher? Where does the suffix fit in? That's part of the issue also. I printed on the page, we'll just move to wrap up. By the way, on the other issue, I'm sorry, I brought with me the Chochmas Adam. It's not on the paper. Chochmas Adam is the Chayadim's work on the other day. So he writes, he acknowledges other types of insects and worms that are not mutter in fish. Okay, he says toloim, which is in fish. Haninsoim bedogim ochel kovnaim asur and ma'am asur. Haninsoim ben all of us we're talking about some mutarim. But omnam hagdelim ala or mibachut asur and ma'am asur. Then he goes on to say in small print, there are places where there are many many shrotzim that grow near and live near, and you have to be concerned about them. So that's what some want to say. Also, here apparently the waters or a certain type of waters have a lot of these worms in them. It also seems to be a rye that it came from the outside, not from inside. Again, it's part of the whole discussion. I printed the last source in the page is the Rav Vosner and his tshuva. I brought it with me. I didn't think it was in the computer, but it's in the computer. So the Shevet HaLevi, who was a prominent posek in Eretz Yisrael now, Shmuel Levi Vosner, who answers it, has a long tshuva, which is late, so I'm not going to read the whole tshuva. It's Chelek Dalet Siman Pei Gimel. What?
Yeah, said it recently.
He was among the signers that answered it now, presently, yeah. This tshuva was written some time ago. The question came up in Tavshin Nun Zayin. I brought here also, I'm going to have time to a sefer called B'dikas Hamozen Kalocha, Rav Moshe Vey, who was also an expert in this area, and Kasher's here, good pictures in this book. But he has a long footnote on page 110 in Chelek Gimel Sifrit Beis, Hara 22, where he goes through the whole thing. He says that, he quotes Diane Falk from England, basically a Falk, who also is Mate, this was years ago, he's machman a lot of things, so he's Makel here, again, it's from some time ago, but he quotes Rav Yashiv, you know, and Rav Yashiv, he said, Megon, Yashiv, Rav Yashiv, Shlita, Shamati, Svar, Afucha, Hayas, Vitalazu, Ke'es, Begoda, Nir, Lain, Haisa, Pam, Bachut, he said it was outside, so then it's Nechshur, Kepir, Shavasura. But then he paskened Makel, but in Chorev, Tovshin, Nun, Zayin, that's already a few years ago, right? Kasher, Baratos, Abris, Nisar, Sholos, Mechoros, Legabe, Tor, comes from a toch basar, havai fish, the shal came up from my favorite Shechterot, and the captain on Shechterot, something that's mutter also, this was years ago, about whitefish. Ma'edim hamadanim, shebenisyon of shnechu ron, bebirur, shataloim bon, bechut, posik, vahachmer, v'yash was machmer, v'yash alleged was machmer this time too. I say allegedly because right now it's hard to know what Yashu himself said and what the people who bring him the shalot said. So, but anyway, he's also among the Osir. So he sums up a lot of these issues as well. The Shevet HaLevi
Yashiv had said that whitefish was
Asur Abdika, I presume. Yeah, after you machmer to get rid of them. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, the Shevet HaLevi says maybe the only thing that's mutter, that's his position, is what the Gemara talks about. If we don't know that this particular worm, we don't know that that's what it is. He says, I'll read just a couple of lines. I know it's late. Hashul amaisel fi edosam dimsaim talom b'sardarim alomine karban lachutz. You know, we don't know if it's necessarily the same, you know, exact type or not. He said at the end, he says, "If this was again, this was written a number of years ago. But he also says that we don't, if we don't know, and it's possible, then perhaps we should have to be machmir. I just want to mention, I brought with me a sefer called one of the Rishonim called Shari Dura. Okay, Shari Dura is sometimes quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Shari Dura is a contemporary of the Rama Rutenberg. So in the Siman Mem Zion. So they have on the side Oros a comment Hargos from Mahari Yisrael Isilan Truth Hadeshim. So he mentions here, just to address that issue, I think Abelsky quoted this also, because one of the things they want to point out is you can see the tunnels where the worms kind of bore through, and that also is brought as a riot that the worms are coming from the stomach and going into the fish, into the flesh, and not the other one, which case it should be usher. But he writes, the Truth Hadeshin writes, he says bedogim mutar hachi no shol hakpid lechol dogim shiotzim migufan tolaim levonim urgilim lotzeis mikzor belachzor. He says these worms, you know, like the old song, the worms call in, the worms call out, right? In other words, maybe they're tunnels, but says the Shari Dura, says the Transadeshin, okay, maybe it came the other way. Maybe the worm was in the flesh first and then came into the stomach. And he says, darken, regilin, lotis, mixes, veloxor. And he said, anu karsan shvibrin, lefamin, ninsu, b'meyayim. Okay, it's sometimes they get into the stomach, and you know we don't eat the part in the stomach anyways, but maybe there's no raya just because you have those tunnels. Anyway, these are the sefekas. I'll just end with a comment from Prichodosh in Yoredei, I don't have it in front of me, but the end of Sivkot and Gimel, he says why eating taloim is such a significant thing. It goes back to the psukim we started with. The reason we all take this issue seriously, and the reason why Rabbanim are discussing it, is because it says in the Chumash that the whole reason we came out of Mitzrayim, the whole thing, you know, one of the things, the reason we came out of Mitzrayim is to distinguish ourselves from the other nations. All nations eat these unusual foods, whatever you call them, insects and creatures and so on, so we don't. And therefore, any person who eats toloim is possibly violating quite a number of laven at the same time. So that's what someone is saying. How can we, you know, be makel? On the other hand, we have sometimes where halach is makel. The Gemara says it's mutter, Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. And I say the only question is, are these Anasakis worms taka the same worms that the Gemara was talking about, in which case it's mutter, or are they different, or do we have scientific knowledge changed some of our facts? Do we have to consider that? These are all the issues which are being examined now. As I just, my goal is just to give you kind of an overview of what the issues are, and we'll see what the maskana is. I guess at this point, as far as I know, and none of the major cash, I shouldn't say none. Okay, it's like I heard that the Star K has said that you should avoid, at least for the time being, these fish, you know, if they have that are infested with the worms. But the OU thus far is not ruled that way. Rabelsky, they say, feels that there's no problem at all. Or a Schechter is still thinking about it. I spoke about it yesterday. I spoke about it a couple times already. He says he's not really convinced by all of Rabelsky's argument. On the other hand, he feels that what the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch says is pretty stark and pretty clear, you know, and he's also still weighing the issue, so I guess we'll await an official response.
Have a good Shabbos. Avoid or inspect?
I didn't see this statement, I'm not sure. But at least you have to inspect it. Okay, I'll go to Shabbos. Oh.